Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming to the session and thank you for the introduction, Nicole. My name is Rhiannon Pilkington and I have come from the University of Adelaide in South Australia. And today I'm talking about age from a bit of a different perspective, and that I'm looking at how we age, I guess, before we reach what we think of as traditional elderly cohorts. I have no financial relationships I need to disclose. So, little bit of an outline of what I'm going to cover. I'm going to look at what a generation is, what it means to be a baby boomer or a Generation X member, specifically to Australia, why we want to know if they're different, and then I'm going to go into a study I've done and look at some socioeconomic differences and health differences irrespective of their age, and then talk about some potential conclusions from those results. So in terms of what a generation is, in the 1920s, a sociologist called Karl Mannheim introduced this first concept of a generation and posited that they are a group of similar age that shared common experiences in their formative years. So this suggests that generations are imprinted with the primary social and political events that occurred during their youth, and this therefore might result in collective dispositions, practices, behaviours, health beliefs and behaviours, etc. So this provides basically a unique way to predict and explain health status and health behaviours, which might be important in determining where policies and programs should be aimed, particularly in relation to the health of our working population. So what formative experiences have they shared? In Australia, we define baby boomers as being born from 1946 to 1965, and they experienced the Vietnam War protests. They also saw campaigns that led to equal pay for women. After 1966, women were also allowed to continue working in the public sector once married. The pill was introduced. In 1975, the Family Law Act was introduced, which legalised divorce and therefore saw a dramatic increase in marriage breakdowns. And there was also the legalisation of abortion. So the marketing literature also provides another view of baby boomers, in that they were rebellious in youth but have grown to be conservative. They're optimistic, ambitious and loyal. They've seen employment as guaranteed and were traditionally a one-employer worker. They're very focused on work and committed to their employer. If we look at the common experiences of Generation X, basically the increase in divorce in the 60s led to a change in family structure. So there's an increase in single-parent households, and at the same time, we saw the creation of the double income family, which for many children resulted in both parents working. So they were the first generation in Australia to actually pay for higher education or university or college. But despite this, they're still higher educated than their predecessors. They're said to have a work to live rather than a live to work attitude, and are much more interested in work-life balance. So in terms of the marketing literature, again, this can be quite stereotypical. I'm not going to vouch for the accuracy of this. They're said to have a career focus. So they saw the change in security and family and employment of their parents quite often being laid off during the economic downturn of the 70s by employers that they'd worked loyally for their entire lives. They're said to have a great desire for independence and not be quite as family focused as their predecessors. So in terms of why these generations are important, we can see, we all know that our populations are ageing. In 2010, in Australia, approximately 14% of our population was aged 65 and over. Come 2036, we're looking at this increase going up to 25% of our population. Now, linked to age and retirement age and when the pension kicks in Australia is labour force participation. So in 2010, for every one person aged 65 and over, we had 5 working-age Australians. Come 2050, projections are suggesting that for every one person aged 65 and over, that figure will halve, and we will only have 2.5 working-age Australians. Now, part of the theory behind this is that it's not just age that is contributing to the drop in labour force participation, but it's also health that is potentially contributing to early exit from the workforce. So another reason why I'm looking at these generations is they make up nearly half of our population and about 80% of our working population. As you've seen, we've got an ageing population. Changes in our environment have led to increased prevalence of obesity and chronic conditions. Therefore, we're worried about drops in labour force participation, less taxpayers, etc. And of course, one of the main goals we're all looking at is this concept of healthy ageing. So all of these factors led to my current analysis, the aim of which was to determine if there are differences in the generations when they were the same age. So to do this, I've used the Australian National Health Survey, which is representative data collected every year with a sample of about 25,000. I've looked at data from 1989, when baby boomers were aged 25 to 44, and then I've looked at data in 2008, when Generation X were the same age. So the National Health Survey is a complex sample. They use a stratified multi-stage sampling frame and therefore statistically were treated as so. So this involved calculating replicate weights for the 1989 sample data in order to calculate standard errors that took into account the sampling methodology. So the variables that I could match from the two different surveys were education, employment, physical activity levels, body mass index, diabetes, smoking, and self-reported health. So these were all self-report variables. So I'm going to look at some socioeconomic characteristics of Gen Xers and baby boomers at the same age. And you can see here, if we look at males, that the grey is Generation X and the red is baby boomers. So male Gen Xers are much more educated than their predecessors, or formally educated, I should say. There was a significant difference in employment levels, with baby boomer males back in 1989 having slightly greater levels of employment. And there was no significant differences in terms of private health, which I looked at because we couldn't actually match income, but private health can often be used as an indicator of disposable income. Oh, I should say, so in Australia, there's universal healthcare, but on top of that, you can have private health and therefore avoid waiting lines, get more rebates for certain medications, etc. So for females, if we look at the difference in education in terms of attaining a bachelor degree or higher, Generation X women had a much greater level of formal education, and they also are greater employed in 2008 compared to boomers in 1989, which is could be logically attributed to changes for women that we saw during the 1960s. In terms of private health, interestingly, baby boomer women in 1989 had greater levels of private health cover than Gen X women did in 2008. Now, if I look at health-related characteristics of the generations, on the left, if we look at males and we look at the smoking status, you can see boomers in 1989 had a greater prevalence of smoking, which is no surprise because smoking in Australia has dropped significantly over the last decades. And then if we look on the very right of the males' table and look at obesity and diabetes, we see that, worryingly, Generation X males in 2008 have nearly twice the prevalence of obesity that baby boomers did in 1989, and the same goes for diabetes. Similar results can be seen for females. We could see, again, baby boomers in 1989 smoked more than Gen Xers in 2008. And if we look, there is still a statistically significant difference between the generations in terms of obesity and diabetes. But for obesity, the difference is not so great. Although for diabetes, Gen X women in 2008 have more than double the prevalence of diabetes compared to boomers. So looking at self-rated health of their generations, of the generations, we could see that, again, for baby boomers in both the male and females, they're much more likely to have reported excellent self-rated health, although they were less likely to report very good health. And we know, obviously, the relationship between self-rated health and mortality, and that raises significant concerns in terms of this result. Now, I then went on to conduct a logistic regression analysis to adjust for sex, education and age within the generations and look at the association between overweight and obesity as defined by BMI and self-report diabetes and generation membership. And we can see that for both overweight and obesity and diabetes, Gen Xers had nearly twice the odds of having both of those conditions in 2008 compared to boomers in 1989. So this research, I guess, is another example of Western generations reaching a higher prevalence of chronic conditions earlier in the life course than their predecessors. Previous research in the US and the UK has actually shown a similar story comparing baby boomers to their previous generation, sometimes called the wartime or the lucky generation. So the major results from this analysis include the rise in obesity, diabetes, and the change in self-rated health. So, you know, we've heard about this concept of the obesogenic environment and how our food systems have changed, our travel modes have changed, how we work has changed, and whether, you know, this appears to be impacting significantly on the levels of these chronic conditions in those birth cohorts. Another concept brought about by Kelly Brownell is this idea of the optimal choice, and you've probably all heard this in the conference already, that, you know, the easiest choice often for many of us in the developed world now is the less healthy choice. And also there's this theory that obesity is now a normal reaction to an abnormal environment, in that our physical environment has changed drastically and we have changed it, but physically our bodies haven't changed in step with these changes. So in conclusion, there are generational differences in health-related factors irrespective of age, which paints a bit of a gloomy picture in terms of the trajectory of chronic disease development in our birth cohorts, and in fact, you know, Generation Y and the younger ones coming through. This could be attributed to our environment, culture, our lifestyle, how we work. So without intervention, we may be looking at Generation X developing more lifestyle chronic conditions than suddenly seen in baby boomers, which obviously has significant consequences for healthcare utilisation, costs for government, labour force participation, quality of life, you know, the list goes on. So thank you for listening, and I'd just like to acknowledge my supervisors, Professors Graham Hugo and Gary Whittett, and Associate Professor Anne Taylor, and the Australian Research Council project that I'm a part of. Thank you.